Well, it was all that I could do to keep from crying.
Well, you know who had his ashes spread at home plate?
The dude that did the Go Cubs Go song.
Yeah,
was his name Goodman?
Steve Goodman. Go Cubs Go! Go Cubs Go! You know what else he wrote?
He wrote the perfect country and western song, and then he sent it to either Waylon Jennings or one of those guys. Well, a friend
of mine named... Hello, Ben. Welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I thought she was going to play the whole thing, and then she says to go. It's a great piece. We'll have to play the whole thing one of these days. You've probably never heard that, A.V.
No, I never heard.
It's very good. S&P futures down 25 cents. Dow futures up 2. NASDAQ futures down 1. So we were very slow yesterday. We're very slow today as well so far. Not sure exactly why. VIX is way down. Not a whole lot of trading. Kevin, are you with us? I guess he's not.
No, he's not here yet.
So Steve Goodman wrote Go Cubs Go. He also wrote The Train They Saw from the City of New Orleans, with that Arlo Guthrie made a big hit out of. Also was sung by a bunch of other people. Willie Nelson is one of them. But now what do you make of this, AV? You know, I'm one of these guys who still thinks that, you know, I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it, but I still think, you know, when you croak, you need to be buried. You need a spot. You need something that says you were here. If you give your best to life, you deserve a piece of property. Somebody walk by 150 years from now and say, there's somebody. He must have been somebody. Somebody cared enough to put him in the ground and put a name over him. Everybody else now wants to cremate everybody, which is okay, I guess. But the whole idea of sprinkling the ashes in these weird places. So they sprinkled Steve Goodman's ashes at home plate at Cubs Park, Wrigley Field. So a few years later, they tore up the whole infield, put a whole new infield in. So now where is he? In a dumpster? Somewhere? Just saying. What do you think? What do you think of that? You started out by home plate, now you're in a dumpster. Or you're in a landfill.
It sounds bad.
So, it sounds bad. I think it does sound bad. The headlines are not really very many headlines. There's this constant leaking of rumors that there's going to be some sort of a light trade deal signed fairly soon, and that's what's kind of helping the market out a little bit. We also have really unprecedented central bank intervention, and I know in this day and age, you're supposed to change topics, and nobody wants to hear a topic more than like one day in a row. But for really my first 10 years really in the business, not even in this business, but other businesses as well, had to do with Federal Reserve essentially going off the rails and pouring so much money into the system that it took us 6 years and a couple of lost industries to come back from, namely savings and loans and all kinds of people in jail. And if ever you want to read, if you're stuck in a cabin somewhere where you're supposed to be having a nice time and it rains for 4 days, read some of the history of the Resolution Trust. If you want to find out all the things that Americans are capable of and what they can screw up on, there's probably two areas that I would recommend that are actually fairly interesting but teach an awful lot about how people are and what they do. One of them, obviously, everybody knows I'm big on railroads. But if you go through, I actually found this book someplace. I think it was in a railroad museum that sold stuff out in, I think it was in Scottsdale. And I think it closed. It was a park, and I think they built something on a park. Every single railroad, the history from like day one, there had to have been, you know, a couple of hundred railroads, easy, maybe more than that. And every one of them, how many people got involved, how many times it changed hands, how many sleaze bags were involved, how many people, you know, took it over, ran the maintenance down, tried to sell it for more. I mean, everything that could possibly. The people that everything they did at Enron, everybody did at any of these other places, Bear Stearns, you name it, people did the railroads essentially 150 years ago. And the other is, you know, what we were just talking about. What was I just saying, AVM? I dove into railroads so much. But you know, all these things are areas, it's Resolution Trust. I mean, it has to do with the government. All these people lost all these properties. Okay, when the rates... Some people couldn't handle the rates. Some people lost with savings and loans went under. There are all kinds of places that people went out of business. And the government got involved, and they were going to move all these properties, sort of like 2008, 2009, when the banks started buying mortgages. And if you read this thing, it is disgusting how this is Bush 1, who I actually kind of liked, but he had his sleaze bags. If you had some money and went to, and you were connected, the government would lend you like 80% for buying buildings, 80 or 90. But if you really were connected, they lent you the first part, and then they lent you the other 80 or 90. And all it really did was buy other people's stuff at 15, 20 cents, 25 cents on the dollar. Just to give it, hey, Kevin, save me. I'm talking about the Resolution Trust, and it disgusts me every time I go through it.
I figured we had to go with the monologue for a little while anyway.
Yeah, I was talking about most of the sleazy stuff that people do. It's like a fetish. You can't invent one that nobody's done before. Is that disgusting? You know.
Well, don't we make laws so that these things never ever happen again?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It always works.
Yeah, but if you, it has to do with people, and it. Every time things like this happen, some people's wealth end up in other people's hands. And every time I see that happen, I just shudder and I think, I can't believe it's happening again. I mean, you're going to see with this, you know, I don't think anybody here gives a rat's behind because, you know, most people don't care about other people. We're going to find that they're at the end of the day with this Chinese thing, that somewhere along the line, I'm going to say 2,000-3,000 farms change hands, Kevin. And 5 years from now, hopefully, all the soybean industry will be whole, but the names in the industry will be a lot different than they were there today. And there's always, I mean, that's what happened in the Resolution Trust. We managed to shift things, properties from some people to other people at amazingly cheap prices, where the first people could easily have afforded to buy their own place at the price they ended up getting sold at, sort of like mortgages in 2008 or 9, right? And yet we couldn't do that. We had to give them to other people. I mean, General Electric became GE Capital essentially because of the Resolution Trust. They were able to buy, and everybody says that, what was his name? The guy who's the world's greatest CEO, he'll tell you. The guy who married the younger lady, how's his name? The guy was his GE CEO. If I can picture the guy's face. Anyway, what he did is he used 90-day AAA borrowing power from GE, at whatever they were borrowing it at, 11-12%, to buy all these properties. So he essentially financed long-term investments with short-term capital, which if you were to put, you know, sin number one of running a business, you never do that. That's what puts savings and loans under. But like everything else, Kevin, timing is everything. Same thing to put the savings and loans under, the same way where you finance long-term loan that you gave by short-term loans that people give you. Essentially, he did 2 years later, and he's a genius, right? Because for how many years, really up to...
Yeah, I think that was part of what put the savings and loans under, but they also had the... you know, they also got into businesses where they didn't know the businesses. So, you know, savings and loans got killed on investing in commercial real estate and if I remember correctly, some energy loans too. Although that was mostly commercial banks. But nevertheless, you know, part of it is once you get away from your charter, I mean that's a strategy thing too. You stick to the knitting. That doesn't mean you don't do, you know, like vertical markets expansions and things like that, but you can't venture out of your area of expertise and count on it to go well. There aren't very many Berkshire Hathaways around that are just big conglomerates anymore. Most of the successful companies do what they do.
This is Psychology Week. We had Dr. Blade on. I'm going to ask you a question. Is a guy who's... When you get into management science, which you are in, you're sort of into psychology. My question is, why, what you just said, okay, why do people say that? When I ask that question, I'm not criticizing. What I'm saying is, when you talk about the 2008 thing, and if you're, you know, tipping a cup of coffee or you're sitting in a library talking to people, every person will come out and say, the issue was some people got loans that they shouldn't have gotten. Now, and I'm going to say that there is no question that that happened. But I'm going to say that 80 to 85% of all the people who got hurt in the 2007 and 8 fiasco were just regular people that put 15, 20% down, had their house dropped from 250 to 160, and somehow they had to move, they had to sell, and they got obliterated. And now the savings and loans thing.
Well, and they lost jobs, too. Right. So, you know, you combine on that the loss of jobs at the time, and you know, not only are the, you know, so everybody's trying to move inventory. You're right. There were people who got loans that that probably shouldn't have been qualified for loans, but there were a lot of people who got hurt in that crisis who got their loans. You know, their loans were conventional, their qualifications were conventional, everything about it. But when the bottom dropped out of the market, they were as screwed as anyone.
Well, in the savings and loan episode, I'm talking about the Silverados of the world. You're absolutely right. By the way, our buddy Wayne. And he was not, by the way, he was nowhere near the first person that informed me of this or I read about Silverado. Was that the biggest CIA front ever or what? That's where Bush was on was it Jeb that was on the board or the other?
Neil Bush was on the board. Neil Bush was on the board.
Sorry, Neil, you never hear too much about him. And who were the guys out in Arizona that got into the, you know, that they financed the, what's the gorgeous resort out there, Keating's place?
It was part of the Keating Five scandal?
But I'm going to say again, Kevin, 90% of the savings and loans that went out of business were Evergreen Park savings and loans, nothing but houses. Concordia savings and loans, nothing but houses. Basically, you got 6% loans out there and you're paying 12% on the passbook. It doesn't take long. I mean, people, decided to push their charter, but I'm going to say most of them didn't. They just got creamed where they were.
Yeah, so they had bad interest rate gaps. Either way, I think your issue is how do we go about picking up the pieces that are left? And, you know, that's, you know, when I came in, that's what you were discussing.
Yeah, I mean, how do we,
you know, it's both. It's, you know, so you have how do you have so many colossal failures, and to what extent are some of them oversight issues? And some of them are just bad business. And then the other side of that coin is, okay, what are we going to do with whatever assets remain? And how are those going to be distributed? And I think that's where your big problem is.
Well, yeah, and it seems like it happens over and over again. And the same people always seem to end up being the winners. And, but actually what I want to talk to you about, well, hopefully you got like a real job. Not that I don't. Managing people's money is a real job. What do you make of the every big swinging bleep is weighing in on this tax the rich thing? And they got this Cooperman fighting out with Warren and Ray Dalio.
Well, which tax the rich? Are we talking about Warren's wealth tax?
Well, it has to do with pointing fingers. It has to do with did you really deserve the money you now have? You know, there's a lot of social implications here, depending on which part of the argument you get into, and there's a lot to it. I mean, it really is. And I see really points on both sides, Kevin. I honestly do. I don't know what, you know, because then you had, who's the, I guess anything bad, who's the guy that runs around and buys people's businesses, then he bitches at them, tells them how to work and do it. What's his name? He's on TV. You know, he'll buy like a restaurant or something and tell people they don't know what they're doing, what they're working in. It's his money and changing this and that. Anyway, he was on yesterday and his whole thing is how much he earned his money. Now he doesn't think he should pay any taxes because he buys other businesses and creates jobs for people. He does a better job than the government would do. And this one guy who was, I forget his name. He was a former, secretary of something. Not Treasury, but one of those places. And he goes, that's the same argument people have been making since the income tax there he goes, I need a new argument. That one doesn't hold water anymore. So they're having this kind of vigorous debate. And obviously, you know, Elizabeth Warren's got this thing going. And it is a debate. And the guys that are essentially rich, every one of them is convinced that all that money they went out and like earned, that they're Edison. And there are some Edisons out there. There are people who went out and came up with a process. And by the way, for 40 years, there were jobs for 200 people or 500 people or 50 people, and they made a lot of dough. And God love them. I mean, I have no, but I don't know that that's necessarily what's happening to a lot of places anymore, Kevin. I don't know that.
Well, I see it a lot, Tom, and it's it sort of depends on the nature of the business. So, you know, over here where I live, do we have major corporations? Yes, we have Whirlpool in Benton Harbor. We have what's the people who make Hummers? AM General in Mishawaka. So there are the large corporations and corporate outfits. But simultaneously, you have all of these manufacturing businesses. Some of them have gotten pretty big, but most of them are in the 200 employee range. And the people who founded them are very, very wealthy, but they really did do it themselves.
I'll bet, Kevin, none of those guys ever took a million or $2 million salary a year, ever.
I don't know the answer to that because very few of them are publicly traded, but I'll bet you there's guys that are pushing towards the million.
Well, but I'm saying they're probably getting a percentage of what the place makes, and I got no problem with that, right?
Yeah. I don't either. All I'm saying by bringing it up is that there are more of these than you think.
I think that there's, as usual, Kevin. The topic, this is what I, is kind of my theme. The topic is so big that unless you rationally look at different things and try and tick off one thing after another, I don't really have a problem again with anybody being rich. I'd love to be rich. I mean, if all of a sudden I catch one of these calendar plays that I do for people where I've got, a couple thousand contracts and we let it run for a week and somebody takes the company over and we make, $1 million on something I paid very nothing for and we split it up among the people who I did it for and everybody calls me up and says, where'd I get all that money? Just, it was our day. Just take it. I have no urge to give that back to anybody, Kevin. Believe me. You know that.
I mean, and most working people I know have the, have a similar sentiment to yours, where they don't mind people being rich. They don't mind others being rich, and they aren't jealous of it. They figure most people earned it. Where they're really suspicious is, as you discuss all the time, that management class, those people who, kind of stumble there. Well, whether they stumble or whether they move up, it's these college-educated people who don't know anything about my job, but they're perfectly happy to tell me how to do it.
Well, how do we get from Elizabeth
there's a lot of wealth that gets accumulated in there because those are some of the people who, you get 25 years out of college and they're becoming the CEOs.
Kevin,
largely because they're better politicians than they are skilled business people.
Well, how do we go from having a fair rate that everybody pays, and it's always been a bitch among people, and always probably will be, and should be. That people who have influence manage to not pay what everybody else pays. Okay, how do we go from that to trying to get somebody to pay 65% of their income or something or a wealth tax? But my next question is, how exactly do you get that back, Kevin? Because it seems like, and I'm not struggling here because it's such a big topic, but say, for instance, you have corporations, and I wish our man Bob was alive for about a million reasons, but certainly for one to explain this to us. You essentially have how many firms? Pick a number. 100 firms, it might be 200, it might be 500. I have no idea. Darryl or Bob certainly would know better. That for years, essentially thumbed their nose at the rest of us. When everybody else was paying 30% or 35% taxes, they said, screw you. And they went overseas and they paid nothing for really, a decade or two? And then all of a sudden we get this big deal that Trump the Bazoo and his buddies put together, and they pay what? 20% to come back? 10% to come back? Kevin, that's a bulge that other people will never catch up to. Will never catch up to. And now the question is, I don't want to have to charge people 65%. I think that's incorrigible. I just want everybody to pay the 35. I can't even get that, let alone let alone, I mean, now, those companies will never look back. The Microsofts, the Amazons, the people, Starbucks, the people were able to do that. And you and I were slogging on. Now they're going to come take us over. If you and I have a decent place, they want to take us over with money that they never really paid the income tax on. When you and I are essentially, we're fighting with 65% of our money we make, and they're fighting with 100%. I mean, you don't. And why do people who have all kinds of assets? If I buy IBM when I was, you know, 20 years old, if I bought one share of IBM and kept adding to it, if I sell it, I got to pay capital gains tax. Now, if I had a kid, which I don't, and all of a sudden I give it to him, his basis becomes 140, which the stock's trading today. Well, what the hell is that all about, Kevin? If I'm wealthy enough to have maintained an asset for that length of time, I'm not asking the kid to sell it. I'm just saying, when he does sell it, the basis is $5. It's not 140. I mean, there's specific stuff that we could do that if we just even things out for people, I think 35% is a pretty good rate, as long as everybody pays it. When half the people find a way to not pay it, then it's not enough. Then you say, wait a minute, that guy's rich. How the hell did he get rich? Did he get rich? Did he pay or didn't he pay? I mean, we've got so many things working here and so many things that people can point at and say that's wrong. Unless we have some sort of a goal that says, look, Kevin and Cheaper, the two-headed, we're running like councils. For everybody who doesn't know, Rome had two councils, not one ruler. All we want to do is make sure that the number is correct or reasonably correct. And we don't know if it's 35, 34, 36, but it's somewhere in there. How about if we just
it's somewhere in there, and so you get two problems that come with that, though, Tom. One is that people look at government, say government's just going to squander this, so, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to pay less. You build a mentality first. So I'm all for equity, and I want the government to enforce force the equity on itself too.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. But, matter of fact, as you know, I encourage that.
And then the rate wouldn't be 35%. The rate would be 25%.
Okay. Kevin, I don't care where it is. I don't want half the people not paying it and be getting a major advantage on other people, which is what we seem to have had for a long time. And that's what people look at. They say, by the way, the people that you talk about, that in your areas of expertise and in your area, that these small businesses, I'm going to say that we could drop the top 10 people that work at those places. I'll bet you the Irish. You can take the Irish. That they make 40% of what the top 10 people make at Commonwealth Edison Center and all these monopolies.
Yeah, that's probably true, but their businesses aren't nearly the size of that either. And I'm not going to argue what they should or shouldn't make at Commonwealth Edison. I'm not even willing to get into that because I would agree with you that they're all being paid way more than the value they add. What I will say though then is what you seem to be advocating is a flat tax.
No, not at all. I mean, I think
with no deductions, why not?
Well, because I think they're...
Well, why not? Because as soon as you introduce all these extra deductions into the tax code, the people who you most want to pay that share are going to be the people who are most equipped to evade it.
All right, the reason why I don't want a flat tax, and if we were France, I would go with you on the flat tax. The reason why, and I'll dig this up here, Kevin, you made me do this. I'm going to the... usdebtclock.org, and you're not supposed to do that. The problem is, in what I can
I've never gone there, by the way. You keep telling me not to go, so I don't go.
Oh, no, now that they've made it even way
position
bigger.
Position heal thyself.
And now that they've made it way bigger, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible because first of all, the pages aren't big now that's a problem. But the point is that When you look at taxes, first of all, you and I are sounding like a couple of 1%ers this morning, which we're not. When I say that, we're talking about the income tax, correct? And the income tax, unlike France, unlike Mexico, and a few other places that I've never been, we have four legs to the tax stool, correct? The other three are incredibly not progressive. The other three are very, because right now, I'm looking at income tax in this country, $1.7 trillion, all right? Payroll tax revenue, which is anything but progressive, right, $1.2 trillion. I think state, where the hell are we? State taxes are even more. Why are they moving around here someplace? Anyway, state taxes are like $1.9 trillion, and locals like $1.2 trillion. So we really have four legs to the stool, three of which are incredibly regressive, right? Property taxes clearly are. Sales taxes clearly are. Those kinds of things. So when people only talk income taxes, for the lion's share of our citizenry, the other three taxes are probably 80-90% of the taxes people pay, right? So
probably right.
And whenever you hear the debate, really the income taxes is just a piece of it. And I think if we're going to have this debate like we should have, we should get enough people in a room and have enough time to where we go over all this and try and figure it all out, Kevin, and what people are really paying and not. I don't think there are like property taxes. I don't know. I mean, I think in some of the countries in Europe, there's one tax, right? And the S&P futures up 250, Dow futures up 26, NASDAQ futures up 8. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right
now. Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie's Mr. Kevin O'Neill. She's A.V. Angelica Lysenko on the board. Say that 10 times faster.
Lysenko.
I know, I'm getting there. I don't have the accent you do. I'm not going to ask you to say, where are moose and squirrel, like Russell did last week.
I think I did a good job.
I think you did, too. Everybody said you had no idea who moose and squirrel were. It's a S&P
even though I still didn't get the joke, but it's okay.
Well, because of the lady who was there. What was her name was?
Natasha or something.
Natasha,
right?
Batnoff.
Because she's
Batnoff.
From Eastern Europe. Is it the joke?
Yeah.
Natasha Patel.
Well, was Boris Batnoff? Well, Boris Batnoff.
Boris Batnoff and Natasha Patel.
Right, they were not married. They were not.
Hey, I know my Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, God. Anyway, Dow up 29.
Where did Bullwinkle star in football?
That I don't know.
Watch them out of you in Frostbite Falls, Minnesota.
That's God. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 25.2. It was a simpler time, Kevin. FTSE up 5, I'll call that flat. CAC around up 19.3%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 51, that's 0.2%. Shanghai down 12.4%. Hang Seng up 5, let's call that flat. Bonds, 1.84. The Bund, 0.31, minus 0.31. Get a load of this. Japan, minus 0.09. Long-term rates are moving up. I think finally the world has figured out that with the money being poured in, Ray Dalio was on yesterday. He says it's unconscionable, the amount of money that people pour in the system. What are they doing? They're wrecking the whole system. I don't get it. Gold up $1.40, $14.85, but it's gotten trounced for a few days in a row. I actually picked the bottom on there yesterday. We'll see if I am correct. It's kind of bounced up from this spot a few times. So I decided to put a toe in the water. We'll see if the toe sinks or comes back up. Silver down 16 cents, $17.40. It was over $18 like 4 days ago, which is pretty interesting. Oil, 57.14 at the very top end of the range, maybe even breaking out of the range a little bit, minus 9 cents. Brent, 62.65. Natural gas, 287. RBOB, 166, even though a lot of the gas stations around here really jumped their gas prices up. Even RBOB's only up like 6 cents this whole oil movement. AV, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Good morning, dear listeners. I hope everybody having a great Wednesday morning. It is 36 degrees currently in Chicago. Nice and warm days are over, and we are stepping into the real winter. So we are having a cloudy morning and expecting rain and snow by afternoon. The evening remaining breezy and raining. The highest of the day will be 52 and the lowest 28. In Phoenix, it is 62 degrees currently. Rain showers this morning with some sunshine during the afternoon hours. Possibility of thunder. And it's actually the first time of my weather traffic career I see it's rain in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Before, it always sunshine, clear skies. And the highest of the day in Phoenix will be 84 and the lowest 61. Not too bad.
So you can't say it's sunny and nice as usual today.
No. And in traffic, there is no accident reported. A lot of construction throughout the city, so be aware there might be some delays, especially in the busiest areas, like Kennedy Expressway on Higgins Road between Canfield and Oriel Avenue. On Eisenhower, exit ramp closed at Burney Interchange, eastbound. Stevenson is tidying up going east from Harlem to Pulaski. And also in the scores, Bulls lost to Lakers, 112 to 118.
Did you watch any of that, Kevin? I was stuck at a spot where it was right in front of me. They were up like...
So I thought the Bulls were playing pretty well.
They were up like by 16, and they lose. They hit 14, the 14-0 run halfway through the fourth quarter. God, are they awful. I mean, you come down, you try...
They have no idea how to win. I think they have enough talent to be okay, but I don't think they have anybody who knows how to win. If you look at the makeup of their roster, you know, there's a lot of guys who are from winning programs, but they're all one-year players. There is no, you know, they through their college years, they never played any place long enough to be part of winning culture. And then, you know, which is one of the things that's kind of interesting about Duke, because they win year after year, but do they really, have they built a winning culture there? They used to have that, but they don't anymore. Because they come and go so fast that it's really more
revolving
of a
door basketball, revolving door.
And so these guys come into the NBA, they're on a bad team, so they're not developing any, they haven't developed any winning culture by being with the Bulls. But you have schools like UCLA, North Carolina, Duke, you know, all represented Arizona on their roster, all teams that have won a lot over the years, but none of these guys had that experience. They never had that learning process when they were younger.
Well, they play zero defense, and when they come down on offense, they never look to pass, and the bailout is to back up three steps and heave the three. So nothing makes the other team come back faster than you heaving three or four three balls up that are a mile wide, and all of a sudden you give the ball right back to the other guys. 15 points can happen in a second.
Yeah, but I did see them have a couple of runs in the first half where they actually did play defense. They did play hard on defense, and they moved the ball a lot. And you know, I just think a lot of times when you get to crunch time, people revert to what they know. They become who they've always been, and it's really, really hard to break that. I mean, that's true in any walk of life. And it becomes a really, really difficult challenge to do that. And when you don't have anybody on your team who can show the way on that, that's a problem. It's a problem you may never overcome.
We talked about that with the Cubs a lot. That you drop back into your swing from the heels thing, even though you may have been working on hitting the other way and doing some other stuff. You don't really trust it. When the pressure's on, you go back to your old stuff.
Yeah, you just revert to it. You don't even think about it. You just do. And I think that's, you know, you see that with the Bulls, and that's why in the Cubs' case, you know, when they were building to a championship, that's why having guys like Ben Zobrist and David Ross and John Lester, people like that on the team, that's why they were so valuable, way more than anything that they did on the field, is that they could show the way, and they weren't afraid to grab people and tell them not to go where they're going.
Yeah. Well, the more guys like that, the easier it is to be.
And the loss of those kinds of influences probably has hurt that team as much as anything else in the subsequent year.
Well, between losing those guys and letting the manager hang as a lame duck for a year, I don't see how you could possibly have tried to screw up a team any worse. Mentally.
Good job, huh?
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, you know, it's interesting. A lot of stuff we talk about, we go back and forth from economics to politics and everything, and I honestly believe, I mean, it's just me talking, that to a large extent, it's all the same subject. You know, the influence and who gets to do what and who gets advantaged by whatever policy, how we're going to, you know, move things around so some people seem to get advantaged or not. This Jeffrey Epstein thing, boy, it's the hit that keeps on coming. Did you catch this thing yesterday about the
ABC reporter?
Yeah,
what she said when the camera allegedly wasn't rolling, but it was.
Yeah, Amy Robach.
Oh yeah.
The was it? Well, Carl was talking about when they let Epstein essentially plea bargain to something ridiculous. He never even went to jail, right? Or was he probation? What was he? They let him plea bargain.
Whatever he did, it was light.
Yeah, he plea bargained, and he thought, and Carl's view was that it was not somebody from, you know, Washington or whatever. It was either CIA or somebody essentially that said, look, those Saudi people you got caught up in there are assets or something. You can't go down this road because, you know, they're guests or they're this, that, the other thing. Well, now it looks like it might have been, according to this, it could very well have been the British royal family and maybe even Clinton. In addition to the Saudis and all the other guys that were running around.
Those names have always been out there. But never with enough linkage to definitively say. But they have been, you know, they have been both linked to Epstein, and you know, I know in the case of President Clinton's denial, you know, he said he flew on that flight X number of times, and the manifests say otherwise, that he was, you know, flying on the Epstein jet a lot more often. So well,
Clinton,
you know, I don't know what to believe. This is one of those where the story's gotten, it's gotten a kick. Okay, let's see where it leads. And it may lead to nowhere, because powerful people are really, really good at covering stuff up. But it may come out too.
Well, I don't understand, Kevin, as I've been written back and forth with a lot of our listeners, and obviously I've talked about it on the air. I mean, it goes back to, I absolutely don't think we ever figured out who killed Kennedy. Why is it? I don't know that as a society, there's always going to be somebody who manages to pull something under the rug. Every local area, every state area or whatever, there's always going to be somebody that the police aren't going to go after as hard as somebody else. I mean, it's just unfortunately human nature, but I don't know that you can have a society where it happens constantly, Kevin. I talked about the income tax stuff for a while. I mean, we for a period of, you know, two and a half, three decades had people that didn't pay anything. You know, and now we have people that obviously had a bunch of stuff with kids, which is more dangerous than income tax. Well, you know, it's the right people were involved. We can't go down that road. I mean, I don't know. Is the society just a front for some people? I mean, I hate to think that.
Well, it may be. It also may be that that the society is. You know, the power in society is sort of in that J. Edgar Hoover mode where everybody has something on everybody else.
From what you've seen from the Denny Hastert thing, but a quick break here, Kevin. SB Futures up 3, be right back.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it is time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
We had a radio station. They played our music the way we all liked it around here. Then a big corporation with a whole lot.
A big corporation, Kevin. Big corporations are up 2.25 today, and the S&P up 6.25 in the Nasdaq. But Kevin, doesn't it feel to you like every subject we talk about, the wealth stuff?
Say that again.
Every subject we talk about, be it, you know, somebody saying people are too wealthy or whatever, or somebody it seems like they're not getting prosecuted, where we see young other people that, you know, the regulators are basically up there behind so far the guys can't even walk, and they've done really nothing against society. I mean, how did we? I'll ask you the same thing I asked Dr. Blade the other day. How did we get here? How did we get a regulatory system where the banks still can do whatever they damn well please, yet every small business in my industry, where you've got four people that run the industry now, can do whatever they damn well please, and anybody below that is basically being, the intent is to force everybody small out of business. I mean, who's running this show? I mean, who set this snowball downhill that we don't seem to be able to push back?
Well, probably the short answer is slowly and then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But yeah, we chip away at all kinds of things, Tom, and then all of a sudden you have a big crisis and everything comes to a head. And I think, you know, we see that, and it's become a repetitive cycle. We see it financially in the economy. You can back up, and it's what, you know, every 10 years. Something like that.
AV, if you're hearing the phone, you might want to let Russell in. Might not be a bad idea.
Dan is working on it.
All right, okay. All right, go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
So, we talked about the SNLs in the late 80s, and then we had the, in the 90s, we had the dot-bombs.
Yep.
And in the early 2000s, I don't know. We hit, you know, we hit the commercial real estate somewhere there again.
You know, a lot of the stuff with the dot
bombs, and then of course we had the housing market and all that stuff.
But why don't we seem to learn from some of this? I mean, the one I'm closest to, and the thing that I am incorrigible about, is this Fed move. Kevin, you go back. I can go. I have them here in my mess.
Yeah,
I got money supply.
Hey, I need.
You need a dash?
Sure to see James Ellis.
Are you need a dash?
Kevin O'Neill from Ivy Tech.
Okay.
Right. Tom,
I gotta go. Right.
I need to jump off. So
right.
I'll talk to you on
right.
Friday.
Okay. Yeah, I got there's money supply numbers in my. And if you look through every time there's this bulge, there's a problem afterward. There's good stuff that happens to some people, and then there's this problem afterward.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing the exact same thing again. I just don't understand why. Whether younger people don't know the history, don't care to know. Well, see, we've been down this road before, and it was a dead end. I mean, I just don't. I don't know. In the meantime, I think even with the market, you got to celebrate and stay with it. I mean, I'm trying my best to keep my calls out of the way, and I'm, you know, letting the puts stay down. I've still got them, but I'm not anxious to roll them up because I think we've got a little further to go. As to where it all ends, I don't. I don't see. But hey, Russell, whenever you hop on, bud. Boy, where's the cardigan? Well, there it is. It's underneath the.
She locked me out there.
She did. The
that whole Natasha thing.
Oh yeah. She's mad. She's mad at you.
The elevator was locked. She
I didn't do anything.
Oh, you know what? We forgot to open up both elevators. It's cold outside.
It is. Very cold.
You got to see her hat. Ask her to model a hat when
I will check it out on the way out today.
That's anyway, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
All right, you got to reel me in here. I'm going wild with going every different direction, pointing out kind of lack of leadership, lack of any kind of governance, lack of anything, and how people when people get hurt, everybody forgets the people that get hurt. And we've talked about crime and punishment. We've talked about money supply. We've talked about Epstein. We've talked about you name it. Because I was listening, we started with the wealth issue with Elizabeth Warren taking her piece and Cooperman taking the bait, and he's doing all the writing. And then Ray Dalio opined in yesterday, like, you know, what are you talking about? It's all about tax rates. And I was mentioning to Kevin, I don't think it's about rates. In my mind, I don't think it should be about rates. It's about preference and who doesn't have to pay and who does. I don't know what you do. Was asking Kevin, the corporations that for 25 years sat overseas and paid nothing, and then when they brought it all back, they brought it back for a discount of other people paid. I don't know how you ever right the ship. How does the Russell Chief company that didn't do that ever get even with the people who did?
How do we get even? That's part of the problem right there. Is you're pandering to a group of people that you're going to get all fired up because they want to get even, and then they're going to come after you and me because we're billionaires. And I don't want them coming after me. They're gonna go after everybody, all the billionaires that work in these buildings around the exchanges, like you and I do. You know how sarcastic I am.
Yeah, I know. I guess my point is that I. As you know, that's not my shtick.
I know.
But what I'm saying is it's not... If all of a sudden people see things that appear wrong... I mean, I don't know why Starbucks paid no taxes for 20 years. I mean, I don't know why Microsoft paid whatever. I mean, and I won't say none. But I'm saying those advantages... I would just like everybody to pay to 35%. I'm a simple soul.
You just want a straight out tax?
No. I'm just saying whatever it is. Uh-huh. I don't care whatever it is. I just want everybody to participate.
I gotcha.
And if all of a sudden somebody is exceptionally wealthy because somehow they found a way around that, I guess I got a problem with it. It doesn't mean I want a general wealth tax, and there's probably nothing I can do about it. But I got a problem with it.
You know, Zuckerberg. I am going back to Microsoft on this. Bill Gates was just like Zuckerberg in front of Congress 20, 25 years ago. And Congress was going to start going after it because, you know, Microsoft was a monopoly. And,
which it is.
You know, it was, but it also has improved productivity for pretty much every company in the U.S. So you can make an argument both directions whether or not Microsoft was a good thing. But
everybody's got electricity. Does that make General Edison a good thing?
Well, they were gonna. That was a good thing. Although Tesla's electricity was better.
Yeah.
But back to Microsoft. So back during the Clinton administration, they were going to start going after Microsoft. You know what Microsoft started doing?
Paying people off.
Nope. They started looking into what would it take for us to move our headquarters to Vancouver.
Right.
You got what in the academic world is referred to as regulatory arbitrage, which is, you know, moving things around so you have to pay the government as little as possible. And as long as we have different governments competing with each other to try to get, you know, to try to build their own economies and their own businesses, you're going to have this tax competition. You know, Ireland has really infuriated the rest of the EU and a lot of other countries because they are a very inexpensive place to do business. But if you're an inexpensive place to do business, that means you got more jobs, you got more income taxes. When people say that big companies don't pay any taxes, how much has been paid in income taxes by the people that work there? You know,
it's not the same.
You know, do what?
Not the same.
Well, but still, it's generating revenue for the government.
Okay, well, and the people who work at PTI, where's my benefit from that? Where's my window?
Where's your window?
Where's my window for government largesse for the people that have paid taxes here through the years?
You're not big enough to. Okay, well,
that's my problem.
A lobbyist.
That's my problem.
I know.
And the tax part, I'm going to say, without us being paid off in buffoons, it wouldn't make a difference because Starbucks goes to London, or they were at a double Dutch sandwich, right? Amsterdam and who's the other one? Was it Ireland and? Well, it was double Dutch, so it had to be two things in Amsterdam and in Holland. Anyway, So they have, how many Starbucks they got in Britain? 2,000? 5,000?
I don't know. They're not as frequent as they are here.
But they're there. But they had like none in Amsterdam. So
yeah.
I'm supposed to believe that 90% of the income is in Amsterdam? And I buy that as an IRS guy?
No, it's not. So I had a hard time finding a Starbucks in Amsterdam.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So I mean, at some point, you look at this and go, wait a minute. am I that stupid? What are you trying to do to me? And yet we are that stupid when it comes to some people, it appears.
But, you know, Starbucks also, they offer health insurance to a whole lot of people.
Everybody who does. By the way, I'm going to tell you the same thing this guy, this older dude, me being the older dude, was telling, who's your buddy that the...
My buddy.
Run around and buys businesses and then bitches at people on TV about how they're running them. What's his name? The something, he's got the name. You know what I'm talking about.
Ackman? I thought he shorted stuff.
No, the other guy.
The one he goes up against?
No, he actually buys firms, and then he goes in there and starts telling people how to run them. He's got the TV show. S&P Futures up 250. NASDAQ Futures up 750. I can see the guy's face. I'm going bad on names. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happened.
Hello, everyone. Play Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Alley. Mr. Professor Russell Rhodes. She's AV on the board. SP Futures up 2.25 and NASDAQ Futures up 750. It reached record highs here everywhere, and now we're just kind of less. Yesterday was real slow. Today looks like it's real slow, and we'll see so far. I don't know.
Are we topping out again?
I don't know. Your buddy Ray Dalio was on yesterday, and he was going crazy about what are these central banks doing. Where's this going to lead? I mean, he says the amount of money coming in the system is unconscionable. He has no idea why it's needed and doesn't have any idea why they're doing it. And he's like, well, somebody's got to tell me.
Is that because he's already made all his money?
Well, because maybe he's got a sense of history and when we've done this before.
I know. It's going to catch up with us. And he is, if I were going to listen to one guy, that is the guy I'd listen to.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people, if you just threw that one out at the bar, everybody might say somebody like Buffett or something like that. I would always say Ray Dalio.
Yeah, he seems to have a sense of not only what he's doing, but economics and some history and some of the stuff. I mean, obviously, you're as a professor of economics, we're kind of wandering down a road here that I don't know what we've done it before, and I don't understand why we're sort of doing it again. The thought of us going back to the 80s world, I never even dreamed about that, but, you know, we sort of are, it looks like.
I hope so, because, man, did I love the fashion.
God. at all the movies back then, you know.
Oh, yeah! I love it.
I don't know if it was fashion. It was something.
I was a child of the 80s, and I'm loving it. I got to go find some Izod shirts and put on a button-down over the Izod shirt.
Oh, God.
All that kind of cool stuff.
But we certainly
Paisley. I gotta get some Paisley.
We certainly
guys.
Have a lot of stuff in the this guy, Lamona's guy, the prophet guy.
Uh huh.
That's the guy I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I finally found his.
Never watched his show.
We didn't miss anything.
Okay, good.
A few things strike me at this is when people get up and start these debates, a lot of them don't seem to have. They don't. Nobody seems to do their homework, do they? They just lob stuff out there.
Well, but you're allowed to do that, aren't you? Years and years and years and years and years ago, I was home in Memphis for one of the holidays. This was like before I was even married. And I was watching CNBC, and my sister, who knows nothing of what I do, a lovely girl but knows nothing of what I do, walks in the room, and Kramer's going on some sort of rant. And my sister goes, that guy reminds me of you. He's just saying a bunch of stuff. Most of it's probably not true, and he thinks if he says it loud enough, it's right. But you could say that about a whole lot of people. It's just the example that popped in my mind. I'm not bad-mouthing Kramer. It's just more of that's the way everybody seems to approach arguments. Be very loud and boisterous, and if you talk over everybody else, then you must be right and you win.
What did your friend Aaron Burnett say on the air one day?
Oh, my God.
Opinions are like bottoms. Everybody's got one, and they all stink. I mean,
And I wish she were my friend.
Oh God, she's special.
She's a cutie. Yeah.
And very bright. And,
oh yeah.
And you know, I never had a chance to watch her on a new show. I really miss her on in the morning.
Yeah, I would love it if they moved her back to one of the bit. Bloomberg, go hire Aaron.
Yeah,
because really, Bloomberg TV is about all I watch.
We have that in the other office, and I have the CNBC here because I try and listen to what John and Peter are saying, since I do some work for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're I don't do some work for them. I do some manage some of the money from their area, and we're always, you know, what interesting yesterday. I mean, I don't know if people know this or not, but I get the feed that he and Pete are always talking about. The feed were, you know, unusual activity.
Yeah,
We get that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because like I said, I do some work for the Nigerian family office, and they're, I actually manage the part that were the protected portfolio.
So okay.
They subcontract it to me.
Okay.
And I said, well, okay, you got to give me the feed, too. So I have the feed. And I don't watch it as much as those guys do. I mean, they're really good at looking at it. I don't really look at the raw feed is really tough to look at, but I will. And I, you know, I've got to the point where if somebody just goes and buys a bunch of calls or puts, I don't just chase them. I'll wait 2 or 3 days, and if it's happened 2 or 3 days in a row, then I know somebody's got conviction.
Somebody's working into a position. And,
But you know what Pete was saying is that, and you know, I'm happy he said it because I didn't pick it up. You know, if I was a knucklehead, I would say I picked it up, but I didn't pick it up. He said the amount of unusual option activity in the last 5 to 6 weeks, he's never seen anything like it.
Really?
Because all of it is amazingly short term. He says, he goes, I don't know if it's what the Feds are doing or what it's doing.
Well, you know, this has been a much more uncertain earnings season, and we're just coming to the end of it. And it was a pretty mixed earnings season as well. So that may have a little bit to do with it.
Well, but
when you talk about short-term option activity, that's the first thing I think of is around events and around you know, company specific.
Well, no, that's
always, almost always earnings.
That's not what he's talking about. He's not about, because I do an awful lot of that, the earnings plays and everything. So we're constantly, when I say big players, we do a lot of contracts during the year. We might buy a spread 1,000, 1,500 times and split it up among people that want to do that. But we're paying a dime for the thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not like is it big in terms of contracts? Yes. Is it big in terms of money? No. You know, we're not moving them. We were talking about, you know, $5,000 total.
Is there a bias to what he's seeing, or is it just both directions?
No. What his point is that, you know, the Fed decides we're going to pour all this money into the system.
Uh huh.
And it looks like that's the game for the week. All right. So it's obvious that we're going to, you know, not that something couldn't happen. You could always have a black swan event. But it's pretty obvious to all around, even me, who likes to be somewhat, you know, in the middle, neutral on the market, it's obvious to me that this week, unless something bad happens, we're going straight up. Right? That's why I got out of the way on my calls that I could. I got a couple that I can't. But by and large, I'm not selling any calls here. Or if I do, they're way out of the money. So it's obvious even to me, you know.
Yeah.
And so he says, we're seeing people like buying a billion calls in the bank stocks on Monday that are for this Friday.
Yeah.
And the same thing like with the steel companies or other places, or even they were all over the energy companies this week because the oil went up a little bit. Some of these energy companies that were totally flat on their ass, like Schlumberger was 32 and now it's 36. You know, it's a dead cat bounce, but if you're buying it at 32 and you bought the 35 calls for, or the 34 calls for a half a buck and now they're $2, it's a real number.
Yeah.
You know, so, but he's saying we've never seen that. It's like people know it's going up like this week, but they don't trust it next week. He goes, all the years we've been doing this, we've never seen this much stuff. When I say short term, he goes, I'm talking 3-4 days.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that means, Russell, but I certainly believe it because I believe Pete and I, you know, and those guys have the feed and I want to go back and look at it. And sure enough, yesterday I went back. I get emails all day long about who's buying what where. And I went back yesterday, sure enough. Somebody bought like 19,000 calls this Friday.
Okay.
Now, and somebody was, the other one was Bank America, 3,500 calls this Friday. I mean, I don't study like those guys do, but I've never, I mean, they just jumped out at me. Like, oh my God, they're all this week. I mean,
yeah.
No, nobody's betting on Jim. There's still a few guys that will bet some company in like in January or something like that, or something. Then you'll see people buy stuff in like, January of 21 or 22 or something. You know, those guys just really think the company's going to the moon or whatever.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know what that means. I'm just lobbing it out there. I'm not, it's certainly not a trade. It's not anything. It's just kind of a phenomenon. I don't know how to judge it. Do you?
Not particular. I mean, unless somebody's got a really great short-term trading system and they have figured out what the rotation's going to look like from week to week. And they're, you know, one of the great uses of weeklies, because there's so little time value in them, is if you've got a short-term outlook, you know, you can basically leverage yourself up against that short-term outlook quite nicely.
Oh, got you.
When weeklies came out, I actually thought that the big use of them would be short-term covered calls, and that's not been the big use of them. It's been what you just talked about. It's been the taking a short-term position in one direction or another.
Well, yeah. So, and well, I mean,
no, it has, I mean, long position. It's been net buying. You know, typically equity options. You know, it's mostly on the call side, and it's a lot of covered calls and things like that. But for short-term options, when the weeklies came out, they would see net buying more than net selling, which well, I was, from Monday, the paper was more net buying than
well,
selling.
On the Monday show, I didn't say it this way,
mm-hmm.
But I could have. I could have said, last week, the Fed put $51 billion into the system. If they do it again this week, and they don't come out and say, here's the horrible reason why, or something along those lines, I'm going to give you a 90% chance that we're up by Friday night. 90%. Unless something bizarre happens and the Chinese tell, you know, Trump to buzz off and die or something. I mean, unless something like that happens, I give us a 90% chance of being up on the week. There's no sellers. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a downtick anywhere, there's just money there. Where's it coming from? It's coming from the Fed. And if they're not doing it, Europe's doing it, everybody else is doing it. Now my question to you is, why all of a sudden, in the midst of this massive wash of cash into the system, which happened in the 70s,
uh-huh.
why all of a sudden are these long-term rates over the entire world marching up relentlessly in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the 10-year rates?
I have no idea. I can't even, other than maybe people are starting to think we found a bottom in rates.
Or, because I think... it has to be inflationary. It has to be some. I mean, Japan's 4 days away. If they're at this rate of going positive under 10-year, doesn't sound like much. It's a massive difference from being.
It
minus,
is a huge yeah. difference. It's like a firm that raises their dividend a penny every quarter suddenly not doing it once.
Yeah,
it signals something. So you think you think we're finally going to get the inflation?
I think it's already there. I mean,
do you think it's pent up and the whole tariff thing is maybe. The last brick in the wall that's holding it back.
I think the tariff thing is the first time that they're not going to be able to keep it out of the general numbers.
We come to an agreement. This is where I'm going with this. So you think if we come to an agreement and all of a sudden, it's just in time for all this junk that we really don't need to get shipped over here for Christmas? Do you think? You know, maybe that's what we get an inflation spike after an agreement.
I guess
is where I'm going without too many steps.
We've had a massive inflation spike in three areas that aren't counted. I've gone through this 100 times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, which is the same thing that happened in the 70s with oil but oil is a lot more insidious. Every time you walk in and buy gas,
mm-hmm.
it slaps you in the face. If your company has to pay up another $100 for insurance, it doesn't really affect you. I mean, it does, because in theory that $100 would have been a raise to you. But
yeah.
People don't think about it that way. And people don't necessarily think that the cost of education, they bitch constantly about their property tax going up, but they don't really make the connection that 55% of that, probably maybe as much as 60, is really tuition. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't count property taxes. And you've got long-term education. I mean, higher education is what, 5% of the basket, and hospitalization is 6. So those three areas are the food and energy of this time.
Yeah.
But I think what's happening is it's starting to spill out other places. I mean, you see it kind of everywhere. I mean, but still, it's mostly in tolls, taxes, parking fees.
The stuff they keep getting us on from day to day.
Well, yeah. the stuff that's not counted.
Yeah.
But I think it's, and they still have the TVs that are way too highly rated, because how many TVs do you need, for God's sake? Those kind of, they keep messing with the automobiles, right? Yeah. Saying it's all quality increases.
We need 7 TVs in our house because each of the dogs needs one too.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, Audrey's little dog Maggie watches TV.
And
she sits there and she's very pissed if it's not on. Because there's going to be a dog on her.
You have to watch Animal. When I first met my wife and she would leave the dog home alone, she would always leave it on Animal Planet.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought that was great.
You know what she hates the most is the little box where you instead of going in for the proctology thing, you send the sample in. She hates that box.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, she knows something bad's about to happen.
I guess. I don't. But you know, I don't know where we're going with this.
I don't either.
But it kind of led into like this morning. Now this thing with this, it comes down to one of influence. And we talked with Kevin, and I'm scattered all over. But in my mind, I'm not scattered all over. These are all issues. They're all the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, this Epstein guy. Did you read this part about the lady off?
On ABC?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there's a certain class / group of people that run in circles that you and I do not run in.
Nor do we want to.
No, and we really don't want to. And I'm not saying that it's like, I think everybody high up kind of knew that guy was a bad guy. Maybe they didn't know the extent of it, but they just kind of let it go because either one of two reasons. They let it go because he did a great job managing their money, which I don't believe.
I don't believe
it. Or because he had dirt on all of them and they were terrified of him.
Well, I mean, you know what?
And I think I've seen people put together how this guy was making his money, which was basically, catching people, having evidence of people being in very compromising positions, and one way or another, they ended up funneling money to him to stay quiet.
Well, look, it was the Denny Hastert phenomenon. I mean, somebody knew about him.
Yeah, it took a while,
but you know,
it took a long while.
You know, it's the things that are being challenged. I think it's an amazing time to do what you and I do in terms of all the laws of economics and things that we've learned. They're all sort of not being challenged so much, but they're being kind of ignored. And I love it when I hear the new monetary theory, and I'm going,
That's paraphrase. It's different this time, which it's never different.
It's like
it always repeats.
Why do people not have a? I don't know. Maybe I won't say you and I are gifted in the sense.
No,
that
we're closer to it.
No.
We pay more attention to it. We're older. You know, nothing drives me crazier than the, 23-year-old that's a year out of school that knows everything about everything as far as investing goes. You don't know everything about everything till you live through,
I sure don't know everything. I'm a little still.
You live through the internet bubble, or you live through, 2008, 2009. You can say that you know, but you really don't know.
But I mean, just in terms of,
you haven't had to field the client calls and, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday night, see what's going on in the market.
Oh, I know.
You know,
but why is everything? I mean, I guess I got stuck when I switched from pre-med to arts and letters. Right, I had to take a language.
You could have been a doctor.
I was.
I'm gonna start calling you Dac.
I had the highest grade point average of anybody who ever left pre-med.
Really?
The guy says, "What are you doing that for? You got a 3.7." I said, "Well, I don't want to be a doctor." Basically. Goes, oh, that's a good reason. So I went over.
There you go.
So in arts and letters, you had to take 3 semesters of a language.
Uh-huh.
And you know me struggling with English. The last thing I need is another language.
Did you do Latin?
I did 4 years of Latin in high school. That's how I dodged a language there.
Okay.
So now I'm sitting there, so I go take French. The bad news was I knew nothing. It was one of these things where they start speaking French the first day.
Oh, no.
And every other bleep in the room, it had probably 2 years in high school sandbagging, even though it was supposed to be, introductory.
Mm-hmm.
The good news was the teacher, this is at Notre Dame, she's like 25. She is adorable. And she's wearing this little outfit, and I'm going, do I really want to drop this class? But I did.
Uh-huh.
The guy goes, try this. It's Notre Dame at that time. They had like 30 languages. They had nobody teaching. Well, they had this this old Italian couple from South Bend that taught Italian.
There you go.
He goes, take this. There's only about six people in the place. They're not going to flunk you. So I take that. I took, after two semesters, I said, look, I did my penance. I'm a senior now. Last thing I need. He goes, go take this class at Dr. Kenman, who I really like. Is teaching in Greek drama.
Mm-hmm.
So I read all these Greek plays. And obviously I had a couple classes where, you know, I was never a big fan, but I had to read a bunch of Shakespeare. You read that stuff, everything that people do today is the same as they did then. The same instincts, the same stuff, the same sexual issues, the same power issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we haven't changed at all in terms of instincts and those kinds of things. I mean, those guys were writing how many bazillion years ago? And now all of a sudden we think there's new monetary theory. Wait a minute. What's new about it? When people have capital and people, the person who wants to build the building or start the business probably has, I'm going to say he's younger, maybe, he or she, and they have everything, but they don't have the money to put the idea to work. And there's somebody else who's got money that he's got more money than he has ideas for.
There's savings seeking a better return.
And all of a sudden the two match up and the guy goes, you know what? If I could use some of your money, I can build this widget plant and I can make 20%, and by the way, which allows me to pay you 8 instead of the 3 you're getting in the savings and loan. And the guy goes, that sounds like a deal to me. But this has never changed and never will.
No.
Now all of a sudden,
the one part has changed. The return that you have to possibly guarantee is very, very low right now. That's the current issue.
Which inflates asset prices.
Which will, you know, go up at some point.
Well, but it inflates asset prices and causes inflation at some point. At the very least, it causes inflation in the asset prices.
Yeah.
And one of the things I wanted to ask you, I have some people that are in Apple, right? Well, and some were chasing some calls in Apple. One spot it kind of got caught. But the thing's up $100 this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to stay with the calls, right?
Yeah.
So say the thing's 160 at the beginning of the year and you're selling like 200 calls and now you're stuck. Well, at 160, the client would say, God, if I get out of there at 200, I'd be happy as a clam.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's 250 and they're not happy. So
reference dependence.
Yeah, reference dependence.
Yep.
But now my question comes down to, every time there's a transaction, there's two things in the transaction. And one thing I like about the fact that I took History of Economic Thought class, if I could get my notes on that, if you guys could teach one of those.
I would love to teach. If I won the lottery and could do what I just do what I want to do, I'd totally be a business historian.
But, God, but it was, you sat there in one of those buildings, those old buildings, where the air was 100 years old and had been breathed about 100 times before. You sat there every night for an hour and a half with this. And anyway, but everything, when you start counting economics or even business or whatever, or nationally, if you and I are two farmers that we like each other, you're pretty good at managing cows, and I'm pretty good at growing corn, somewhere along the way, we're going to say, how about I give you 10 bushels of corn for every 3 gallons of milk, because you're better at that and I'm better at this. That's how people grow. That's how societies grow, right? People do what they're good at. But the thing you have to, that I challenge the people on TV and so forth that are supposedly no more than you and I challenge them, it's a two-part transaction. If all of a sudden one year there's a drought, okay, and all of a sudden I don't have the 10 bushels of corn for the 3 gallons of milk or whatever I said before, it might get down to, guess what? Since there's not as much corn around, the 3 gallons of milk, I'm only going to give you 5 bushels. It's all I got. I mean, the price has changed because of the scarcity of corn. Or there might be a huge drought year, a banner year in corn, and all of a sudden there's some kind of disease that knocks out 10% of the cow population.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to say, my 3 gallons of milk, I need, 7 bushels of corn, not the 5 we've been doing for 10 years. And I'll understand that, because now all of a sudden you don't have as much milk and I got more corn. But the point is that the price can change on a transaction because of either side of the transaction.
Right.
And what I'm saying with Apple going from, I'll just pick Apple, going from 230 to 260, which I think it's probably going to go to, at the same time, the Fed puts 8% more money into the system last year with 2% growth, maybe it's not Apple being more absolutely more valuable, but only more valuable in terms of the dollars, because the dollar value has gone down.
Yeah, but the dollar value is not going down.
Well,
yet.
I'm not talking. Yeah. No, here's where I know where you're going with this.
Uh-huh.
Stop for a sec. And feel free to use this in class. It's not going down in relation to the euro dollars and the other stuff, but it's going down in relation to Apple. And that's what inflation is.
Okay.
Am I right or not?
It's sort of going down in relation to Apple.
Well, I'm saying
it hadn't caught up with it.
No, but
yet.
My
that's
point is,
we're looking
at Apple going up. I'm
yeah.
saying part of that is the, I'm not talking about the euro or whatever, because we're all doing the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if everybody goes out and doubles their money supply in every place we know of,
mm-hmm.
you know, the European Union, the Britain and Russia and whoever damn well else is out there, the Chinese, Japanese, they all double their money supply. Okay, now Apple's going to double, correct?
In whatever their currencies are, yeah.
But the actual value,
it's almost like a 2-for-1 split there
when you say
doubling.
So I'm saying,
so the company is still relatively the same.
So it's still the same. But
yeah.
I'm saying whenever these prices move, inflation really means that the price of the value of the currency is dropping,
mm-hmm.
which is causing the other stuff to go the other way. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, gasoline's still the same. It just now takes 5 hours a gallon instead of two.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, it's an odd concept, but anyway, it's because I'm an odd guy. Futures up 350. We come back. You can tell me how I'm all wet on this, Professor. We'll be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hunt. Mr. Russell Rhodes. She's AV on the board. SP Futures up 3, NASDAQ Futures up 10. We're slow, but we're still to the upside here. We got the Dow futures are up 31 over in Europe with same kind of slowness there. DAX up 20.1%. FTSE up 88 cents. I'm going to call that one flat. What do you think, Russell? CAC round up 23.
That's flat enough.
Yeah, CAC round up 23. They're up 0.4%, so a little bit there. Asia Nikkei up 51. They're high for the year, though. 0.2%. Shanghai down 12.4%. Hang Seng up 5. There's another one flat. This is probably the news of the day. The Bund, minus 0.31. Japan, minus 0.08 now. Ding, 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 up 0.3%. These guys have been minus 2.4 to 2.9 for how many years?
It's going to go green.
They're going to go green.
Woo-hoo!
That'd be something. Yeah. Gold, actually green today, but they need to come up a bit here just to get back to underwater. These guys have bottomed out at around 1480 a couple times, Russell, so I took the plunge yesterday and dipped a little spread in and see if it'll bounce here. We'll see if it will. Silver down 9 cents, 1747. Boy, if you'd have sold that thing at, what, 1820 last Friday or whatever it was, that's a nice move, but we didn't do that. Copper, 268. So if you're looking for copper to be an indicator that China's back on board, do not look at that number. Oil down 29 cents, 56.94. Brent down 62.51, down 45 cents. Natural gas 285. RBOB 166. Even a lot of places have gone up a bunch with the oil going up a little bit. The gas in New York has not reflected that, but sort of has. Hey, AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Bulls no good. Hawks no good.
Good morning. It's 7:36 in the morning currently in Chicago. 38 degrees outside. We're expecting to have a cloudy day with occasional showers this afternoon. There are 40 to 60% chances of rain and snow this evening, and the weather remaining cloudy and breezy overnight. The highest of the day will be 84 and the low 61. In Phoenix, it is 62 degrees right now. Rain showers this morning with some sunshine during the afternoon hours. Possibility of thunder. The highest will be 84 and the low 61. In traffic, we have one accident reported on Stevenson going north before Pulaski Road. Expected delays up to 30 minutes. Overall, the traffic volume getting heavier and plus the constructions. So be prepared for delays, especially Eisenhower, both directions. Adams Expressway is very busy from South Union up to Randolph. And then it continues from North Avenue up to Elston. Very light traffic on Lakeshore Drive from Randolph down to Stevenson. Chief?
We've got Bulls gave it up in the fourth quarter severely. The Hawks were never in it. But the Hawks are they still sold out, both of those teams? I don't think the Bulls are anymore, are they?
I wouldn't think that the Bulls would be. I wouldn't go to a Bulls game if you gave me a ticket.
No, I wouldn't.
Put me courtside.
You know, if you took me to your skybox, I might go.
I wouldn't even do that. My disgust with the NBA is at an all-time
too.
High.
Yeah, it's me too.
And
yeah.
it goes beyond the politics stuff. I was listening when you guys were talking about winning culture and stuff like that. I remember when Derrick Rose was at Memphis, where I went to college, and then he came up here for the Bulls, and they, you know, he had hardly ever lost games in his life. He played at Memphis, and I think they lost two games. They lost one regular season game to Tennessee, and they lost the championship game to Kansas on a last second shot because their coach was a terrible floor coach. And didn't say foul instead of letting somebody run up and hit a three. But when he got to the Bulls, they said he was just like, every time they'd play a game and they'd lose, he was just like slamming things around the locker room and just losing his mind over it, because he lost more games in his first 10 games with the Bulls than he had lost since the beginning of high school. And so basically what the NBA did was they taught him how to lose.
Well, that's, I mean...
They did. They taught him how to take losses in stride, that it's just going to happen. And so you can kind of see that. One team wants it a little bit more than the other team, and the fourth quarter happens, like last night.
Well, the sports is always sort of interesting, especially getting this. You know, everybody's got to be a winner mentality.
Well, you should want to try to win. I don't...
But I mean, in softball, all the years we've played, we always had a good team. I mean, not spectacular, but I'm going to say on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 are your, you know, let us entertain you and the Bobcats and those people, and like a 7 or 8 was a real good neighborhood team. We were 6.5, 7, easy. A couple of years maybe better than that, because we had some unusual guys for a while, but. We could have been in leagues where we won every game, and I never wanted to be in those leagues. I mean, I wanted to be in ones where the guys were as good as you, that if you played not so well, you probably lost, and if you played well, you won. So when you won, it was an accomplishment, right? I mean, and when you get up to the level of, like, you know, the Major League Baseball or something like that, I mean, you're playing people that are they're earning a check too. I mean, they're good. And the two guys that come to mind when you talk about Derrick Rose not losing very many. I'm going to say that when Lou Alcindor lost Elvin Hayes, was that the first time he'd ever lost a competitive game?
Probably.
And I think that the first time when the Irish beat UCLA, I think that was the first time Bill Walton had ever lost high school or college. Those guys were
quite
that
possible.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, he may have lost a high school game someplace, but I don't think that did Wilt ever lose in high school or college? He lost the
probably
they
not.
They lost the national championship when he was at Kansas. I don't think he. You know, I can't. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure he didn't lose in high school. I mean, he might have lost some other games at Kansas, but I don't know. Those guys were. You know, talk about. I mean, Magic Johnson didn't lose very many.
Nope.
I mean, the Fab Five didn't. I mean, they lost a couple their freshman year, but yeah. I mean, you start getting places where people are like as good as you. It's you know, we rail me more than you.
You've been on fire this morning.
Well, the thought that we go down this road again after seeing the carnage it caused before.
Let's take advantage of it.
We're trying to.
And then we'll get hauled up in front of some congressional committee for being right when and maybe they'll make a movie about us.
Well, I mean, I certainly have kept. I've had my people are longer. I mean, we're protected, so we're not as long as we, quote, could be.
Yeah.
Obviously, we could have the stock and we could have call options. You know, we're not there. I think we're going to – we keep making the correction more and more of a danger when it comes, but I really don't see it this week. But then again, I'll tell you this, Russell, you never see it. Everybody – the young people now are convinced that they're going to get that memo, that when it turns, I'll know and I'll get my people out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You're not going to – but I – the thing, I mean, what are we doing? What risks are building up? I mean, you and I talked on the break, and I talked to, who was that the other day? What are the risks? I mean, now that the risks were in 1981 when everybody we knew, everybody's parents, grandparents, and whatever had their money in a CD at 14%. The risks were, investment risks were you didn't get in the market at 800, and you maybe didn't participate in something, you know, and we've never seen for 20-some years. I mean, a bull market that, you know, the risk was you missed the first if it went to 1600 in how long? You know, not very, a couple of years. I mean, you missed a doubling there while you're struggling to keep your 12%. So the risks you have. Now, what risks are piling up now that the Fed is afraid of now? And I'm going to say, I can name the automobile dealers, 7 years at 0%. What happens if the rates are, the federal funds rate is 3.5%, 3 years from now in the middle of that loan? I mean, those guys are gagging, right?
Depending on how they're managing it, yes.
Now, what happens if today we've heard the incredible news that Walgreens is thinking about going private?
That one is one that I wouldn't be shocked if we looked back and say that's the, that was the, you know,
are they going to be able to get
rates? Because basically, if you go private, you do it with a whole lot of debt, and if you don't cover the debt, you go bankrupt.
Do you think that they can get, and how much of the debt? You know more about this than me.
Mm-hmm.
How much of the debt can they get fixed if they go out and get, you know, 30-year paper like John Deere did at 2 point something or 3 or whatever the hell they did? I guess you're okay, but what if you're a quarter over prime? Boy, oh boy, that's a risk.
Hey, it's not so much. This is why I would be concerned about it, and it's not something that I have to be concerned about because I wouldn't own the shares. But let's just say they lock in a fixed rate of 3 or 4% over a long period of time, and they've just got to keep covering that. What happens when we slow down, and instead of running down to Walgreens to, you know, buy a 12-pack of Diet Cokes at a premium, we hold up and we go to Walmart and buy them at a very low price? And we know retail margins are razor thin.
Yep.
What happens when they nationalize healthcare and all of a sudden nobody's going to Walgreens to get their prescriptions filled anymore? There's an economic slowing thing that could hit them, but I also think that there's this regulatory curveball that could hit them as well. So I don't know if I would want to take on the risk of having to make a certain payment every year to just cover my debt.
Russell,
regardless of how low interest rates are right now.
When the new mantra of a few months ago that I'm instead of arguing with people, I'm going to try and understand where they're coming from and try and understand what they saw to what make them said what they said, as dumb as it may sound. what does AOC, as much as I think she doesn't think things through, see to make her make that comment that on the surface seems ignorant? I mean, she obviously saw something. She's not a dumb lady, right? I mean, and she's got heart and she cares, I think. Elizabeth Warren, same way, I don't agree with her or anything, but it's not like she's not trying. I mean, she's not afraid to stick her nose in there, right? I mean, I don't agree with her on a lot of stuff, but some of the things she sees are obviously, they're there to be seen, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some of the inequities. But one of the things that really, the difference between, I'm going to say older farts and younger people, in our day, and I think our mantra, and I think Carl would agree with this, Kevin, virtually everybody, left and right, that comes on the show, that's been around a while, you really don't want to, even though I don't have a problem, if people are in trouble, putting through a program that helps those people out with a 5-year time frame, the program goes away unless it's really good. I mean, I would agree with the right on those kinds of things, that you can't have these programs forever that don't do anything. That part I get. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, and if you notice it in your classes, I'll bet you do, but I'm not leading a witness. Younger people, they see the government is very inefficient, you know, pretty inefficient. The Secretary of State's office, you know, pretty inefficient. You know what, though? They don't believe, like you and I, since all they see are these semi-monopolistic, duopolistic, whatever you want to call them, they don't really believe that the government is that less efficient, that much less efficient, I'll try my English here, than Commonwealth Edison, than the cable company, than the insurance companies.
I mean, you think they paint it all with the same brush?
They paint it all, and you know what? You know what, Russell? They're not wrong. When you monopolies are just governments.
If you don't have to worry about competition,
you hire people that are inept. You don't care how they treat people. I mean, what's the difference between going, I actually think I get treated better at the Secretary of State's office, get a new license, than I do at my cable company?
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Where are you going? What are you doing?
I paid off a car. I got to get the title.
Okay, well, that's...
I paid it off 27 months ago, but it's time to get the title switched over.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so.
So
I thought the place that you paid it off, that they get it for you.
They didn't do that. No, they sent it to me, and they said, go to your DMV.
Okay, well, they sent it to you. Yeah. You have it. Okay.
I have it. I just
got
to go.
You've got it.
Tomorrow's the day. I'm going to finally
Do that. They removed the lien. It's up to you to get the new title.
Yes.
By the way, it's about $125, $150.
Is it? Oh, man.
Yeah.
And what's the profit margin on that for the Secretary of State?
I don't know if I've ever told you. One of the most sickening things I ever did is I was getting letters from everybody because I was rattling people's cage about people are somewhat rational, and it's a $10 an hour job, you know, 30 miles from home, isn't all necessarily the greatest thing in the world for why somebody get off the sofa. So I went through the state of Illinois. If somebody gave you a $5,000 car, or somebody gave you the $5,000, you went out and bought it, you know, so it's kind of a junker, not, you know, hopefully it's halfway decent. The tax on the car, not gas, not insurance, not the car. Tax on the car, title, if you're in the city, the parking thing in front of your house, the sticker, and, I don't know.
Everything else would be almost another grand.
Title, like, no, it was 600 and some bucks. It was your first 66 hours work was to pay the state.
Yeah, if you bought a $5,000, what's the sales tax on that right there?
6.5, 7.
Okay, so that's I thought it was higher than that. I thought it was.
I thought
it was almost 10.
Anything that is titled like a car, this you don't pay the local tax, local or county. You just pay the sales tax.
Okay,
which is weird. So if you go buy essentially a car out of state,
oh yeah, you got to pay the sales tax,
but
when
you pay 6.5. You don't pay 11. You don't pay 11. You pay 6.5.
All right.
Or maybe it's 7. But it's you don't pay to the county, city, all the other guys. Because if it's a titled vehicle, I don't know why that is, but I'm happy about it. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I mean, yeah, it's relentless what people are charging you. And now none of that's in the CPI, right?
Of course not.
No.
There's no government expense.
But I'm saying when you talk to Matty Weber, for instance, he will say, I'm willing, Chief, to take my chances to get rid of all these insurance companies and just have the government do it. He goes, how could they be any worse? He said, nobody at the government makes... How much did the guy from... what the hell is that? How much did the guy from Tenet Healthcare make a few years ago? It was like 10% of all the money in the insurance industry or some... His going away package or some bizarre number?
What's
like $500 million or something?
Why can't we get a job where we get paid that much to leave?
Well, you're the guy with all the advanced degrees. You get one of the jobs and hire my ass.
I've got to reassess my life.
I love doing the show. I love managing money for people.
No, I love what I do too. That's why I don't really worry about the dollar.
If you grease me with, say, $750 a year for coming in 3 days a week and working from home the other two and every once in a while lobbing out an idea, I'll think about it. With
You'll
bonus, of course.
Think about it. Yeah.
But in an expense account and a car.
Yeah.
You know, not a 20-year-old
truck. They
got
to cover your city sticker, too.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think young people
are... you should have a driver.
But if you're at a cocktail party or a coffee shop with everybody our age.
Yeah.
And all the people, the Leanne Coopmans of the world, all these guys that are on TV, they're going to say the last thing you want is government involved in this. But are they blind to what's happening in all these other areas?
Oh, I think they are, because
it's just
as bad. You think he has to go to the DMV?
No.
You know, the people that, again, I said they're going to the Epstein thing. I think this is true for a lot of stuff. They're just certain level of folks that don't have to live life like the rest of us,
right?
You know, yeah. They end up being president and things like that.
But what if you
just can't fathom that they just don't know what it's like. They don't understand the day-to-day life for the rest of us.
No.
And the other thing is, I don't think they really realize that we just want our day-to-day life to be easier.
Right.
That's all. If you know, and I think we've been beaten down so much by everything being such a freaking chore. And I love what you've said about kind of the lines between private business and what you have to depend on the government kind of being the same. you know, having to wait around in a 7-hour window for the cable guy to come and, you know, flip a switch for you or whatever. Yeah. It's just, I think we've all been beaten down so much by modern life, and we don't realize that, that we don't categorize the difference between our interactions with government and our interactions with a lot of different businesses that don't really care whether, you know, they serve us or not.
And you ask yourself, yeah, and you know, again, this morning we have a million topics that, to me, that's what makes me nuts, are all the same topic. I mean, right-winger guys have been at me all week long about the impeachment, and, you know, and finally...
See, I don't even care about that.
Well, no, but
it doesn't impact my day-to-day life, and I don't think a lot of people do.
It's not about the impeachment. It's about the fact that, in their opinion, that the judgment is very selective. And I honestly, maybe that's why they like writing to me. I agree with them. Why is it? My question is, why is it that we've seen, you know, if we had my buddy John Dyer, who you'd love, he's been in the pharmacy business, what's the business where they're in the middle, the guys that do the, who are the guys that own CVS or that merge with CVS? What's the business I'm talking about? The
healthcare company?
Right, but they get in the middle, like they'll be the pharmacy person for like a union and they'll favor.
Uh-huh.
What's the name of those guys?
I know who you're talking about.
Who are the two big ones? They had names that you wouldn't even guess what business. Anyway, he's been in those businesses. He knows. I mean, and he tells me.
Was it Caremark?
Caremark, yeah. They're a pharmacy benefit manager.
Yeah.
That's there. Takes me a while to access the files. But he'll tell you stories that would make, you know, you're sitting there going, how could that be? I mean, he's talking about the generic drug company. He goes, 15 years ago, this was the Wild West. Guys are selling stuff at good prices and good stuff. He goes, they're virtually all of them bought back up by somebody. Now, we have a law, for God's sake. Every combination and restraint of trade. Every time Russell Rhodes goes out and buys another hamburger joint and raises the price in that locale because now he has less competition. Russell, you should be going out in cuffs, right? There's a law.
The Sherman Act?
Oh, yeah. Every combination resulting in restraint of trade is a felony.
There you go.
And as for the Trump thing, I have no idea why, and I don't know if it was just Obama's guys or whoever the hell it was. I'm sure he wasn't the first and the only. I have no idea why that Hillary got to have a foundation taking money from other people and then ran for office when everybody knew that money was campaign contribution and nobody went after it. I have no idea why. I don't see why we've allowed, now that Trump has, you know, ripped the scab off it. How many years has it been going on that we give money to a country like Ukraine and 50 swinging idiots go after it and steal all that, half of dough? I mean, why aren't they all in jail? I don't know. And yet, if you and I know somebody who has a parking ticket, they're chasing them into the can, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as to why this happens, it's the same thing in our industry. Why small firms can't do anything wrong, big firms can do whatever they damn well please. I mean, is this the death knell of us that we can't police big people or what?
We can't police big people. We can't. What I was actually just thinking about is the entities that police, you know, what you were just talking about at the very, very high end, they are just like the racist state trooper in the southern United States.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when I grew up in Memphis, there were a handful of collar suburbs that you really just didn't, they basically, if you didn't look like me and you drove through there at night, you were going to get pulled over for something.
Right.
You know, and
what are you
doing,
Harold?
And it's selective enforcement based on the individual's biases. And I do think that there's a lot of that in DC. And so, but if you're part of the in crowd, you're not going to get, you know, they're not going to come after you like they would an outsider that's upsetting everybody.
But the
I do think there. I'm not saying that Trump has followed all the rules the way that he should. God knows he probably hasn't, because that's how he has been the bull in the China shop his whole life and gotten away with it. But I do think that they're watching him constantly and just hoping to catch him at something.
Well, because
he's really just got to be blatant to
right.
be some of the other people that should have been.
Well, he's going to get caught because the alligator is going to want to bite him.
Yeah.
Because every time he walks by the alligator, he pokes him.
Yep. Yeah, he doesn't help himself. No. That's for darn sure.
There's no question.
Yeah.
But how has everybody been this Epstein? For God's sake, we're talking about kids here. We're not talking about money in Ukraine.
His actions are some of the most deplorable things I've ever heard of in my life.
Yes.
And I kind of wish that he were still alive. Because
so we can kill him again.
No, I was looking forward to what was going to happen to him in jail.
Yes.
And you know, and guys like that are not treated well in jail.
Well, they were never going to let that happen to him because
yeah.
he had too much to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, why did, out of all the people we put to death, I mean, how did Timothy McVeigh have to get smoked so fast? What did he know that nobody wanted to hear?
I have no idea.
I mean, how many people did he actually execute right away?
We're turning into conspiracy theorists.
Well, I mean, it's right in front of your face.
I think there's an element of that. There are too many weird coincidences in you know, there's just too much weirdness in the world that just ties back to people's agendas.
But I mean, in terms of politics, if you're going to run an election, if you're running for office right now, you and I cannot run on the theme that government is bad and all these companies are good, because the young people look at you and go, you're nuts. They're just as bad as government.
If anything.
Maybe worse.
The government actually makes companies look bad.
Well, yeah.
They try to, at least. They try to. Don't look at us. Look over there.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg's the devil.
Oh, well, I mean,
he's also a robot.
But he's also the guy's, give me your information so I can sell it. I mean, people are the ones that are idiots. Right?
Yeah.
SP Futures up 4. ASA Futures up 11. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't f***ing know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.